Good morning, everyone. Thanks so much for coming to my talk today. So I'm a PhD student at Cornell in the Nutrient Management SPEAR program, and I'm going to be talking about a statistical approach for determining the most economic rate of nitrogen for winter cereals. So first, I'm going to go over a little bit of background information about forage production in New York. Then the objectives of our study, and the materials and methods have three parts. So the first are the field trials that we obtained the data from for this study, the statistical models we're comparing, as well as the decision criteria we used to select the best model for this crop. For results, there's also two parts to this. So first, we divide our yield responses into a couple different groups, and then we use one of the groups for model comparison. So forage production in the Northeast, specifically New York, is really focused around dairy production systems. In 2016, New York was the third biggest dairy producer in the country. And what's nice about New York is the dairy producers actually produce a large amount of their own forage on farm. And the main crop rotations that they use are typically corn silage for a few years, rotated with alfalfa or an alfalfa grass hay mix for a few years. It's not uncommon for manure to be applied in the fall after the corn silage harvest, and in most cases, the ground is left bare over the wintertime, which could have some environmental drawbacks to it. So we are looking into double cropping in New York during the corn silage years for forage production. And double cropping is basically just two crops within the same growing season. And in New York, as you all, I'm sure, can guess, our winters are pretty harsh. So we have to select varieties of crops that can survive the winter. So we're planting these cereals in the fall, they overwinter, and they start growing again in the spring. The most common ones we're working with are winter rye and triticale, which is a hybrid between cereal rye and winter wheat. So double cropping has many of the same environmental benefits as cover cropping does. So it keeps the ground covered over the wintertime, which can reduce the risk of erosion. It can take up some of the nutrients that are left over from the previous crop, and it can also improve soil health. In addition to these environmental benefits, double cropping can provide farmers with an additional harvestable forage, which has a really big economic benefit. So this can help farmers spread their production risk a little bit. This past year has been one of the wettest springs on record. The year before, we had an intense drought. So it's really nice to have a crop to fall back on in case your main crop doesn't do so well. It can also increase farmers' total yield per unit of land, which can be really, really nice for the farmers. And I've heard the cows really like it, so that's a plus. Because we're harvesting these crops, it does need to be managed as a crop, specifically with nutrients. And we're going to be focused on nitrogen, but it's really important if they're going to get an optimal yield, they need to manage it, the fertility. So the most economic rate of nitrogen is what I'm going to be using for the whole presentation. I'm going to be calling it MERN. And it's a measure of the optimal nitrogen needs of these winter cereals that accounts for both the value of the forage as well as the cost of fertilizer. And we determine this using a statistical model. Over here on the right, we have an example of a yield response to nitrogen. And right about where the yield starts to level off as you increase the rate of nitrogen is where our MERN will be. And that MERN will shift left or right depending on how economic it is to grow the crop. So if the fertilizer costs go way up, but the forage crop doesn't really change in terms of its value, the curve, the MERN might shift a little bit to the left on the curve. There are many models that are used in the literature for different types of crops for determining this MERN, ranging from linear plateau to quadratic to linear stochastic plateau. There is no defined ideal model for determining the nitrogen needs of double-cropped winter cereals, which brings me to the objectives. So we want to determine the best statistical model for predicting this MERN. And I did want to clarify that this is not a nitrogen recommendation paper. That's the second step in this process that we're working on. I'm actually presenting it in a poster on Wednesday. So for these trials, we have a lot of data to use in order to come up with a nitrogen recommendation system. But this is just talking about the model to use to determine the MERN. So we had 63 on-farm field trials from 2013 to 2016. And when I say on-farm, I mean on farmers' farms. So farmers made all of their management decisions. We just came in the spring and applied the fertilizer. So it was up to the farmer if they wanted to apply manure in the past, their seeding rate, all of that information unique to the farm. The trials were set up in a randomized complete block design, which is over here on the right, and four replications. We applied five rates of nitrogen at green up in the spring, and green up in New York is when the snow melts and the plants start growing again and become green. We used an agrotain treated urea, which is a urease inhibitor, so it gives the field a chance to wait for rain for a couple of weeks before it gets incorporated into the soil. And then we harvested the plots when the plants were at flag leaf stage, and every year that occurred sometime in May. And so that's when the last mature leaf is emerging from the plant before the seed head emerges. So it's a pretty immature stage, but it's really high in quality. And these are planted during corn silage years, so the farmers want to make sure they have enough time to plant their corn silage. Okay, so the first step in this analysis is to categorize our yield responses into four different groups. So group one had a MERN of zero, meaning it did not respond to additional nitrogen application. So the yield line was flat, no change. Group two had a MERN that was greater than our greatest rate of nitrogen application. So the yield kept going up with additional nitrogen, never plateaued. So we couldn't determine a MERN for these sites, somewhere above our highest N rate. Our third group had a MERN that was very low, so somewhere between zero and our lowest N rate. We didn't have enough data to support a specific MERN for these sites, so we were saying that they probably need somewhere between zero and 34 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. Our fourth and final group is the most important for this analysis. So this group had a MERN somewhere in between our lowest and highest N rate. We had a nice yield plateau. And for our second step, we used this group to compare three different statistical models to see which one would be best for predicting our MERN. The three we chose based on an extensive literature review are the quadratic plateau, exponential, and square root plateau models. So we used a couple of different criteria for determining which model is best. We used coefficient of determination, R squared, for our statistical criteria, so we wanted to test the goodness of fit. We also wanted to see how stable the predictions are across different price ratios. So we kept our nitrogen cost the same, and we changed how much the forage value might fluctuate year to year. So we wanted to see how the MERN, the yield at the MERN, changes if that price ratio would change. So if we don't want too much change, so if we want a more stable prediction across years. We also looked at stability and parameters when either a little bit less or a little bit more than that predicted MERN is applied, because maybe the farmers like decide to put a little more or a little less. We want stability in predictions, even if a little is over under applied compared to the MERN. One of the parameters we used for these comparisons is the apparent nitrogen recovery, and it's basically just the proportion of nitrogen that we apply that's taken up and used by the crop. So here are four examples of yield response trials in our four different groups. So these are not averages over all the trials. These are four specific field trials. So group one up on the top left is our MERN equals zero group, so no yield response. We had about a third of our trials fall into this category. Group two, we had only one trial that never plateaued to just keep going. Group three, we had 11% that had a super low MERN that we didn't feel confident in predicting. And then again, our most important group, we had over half of our trials fell into this group where we had a nice yield plateau and we could predict our most economic rate of nitrogen. Now, I also wanted to say that we want to keep all of our trials on an individual basis for individual analysis, because for extension purposes, we want to be able to report back to farmers about their specific trial. So for all of these trials, we actually sent farmers reports saying, this is how much nitrogen you needed this year, this is how your quality and yield looked for this year. So here's some results. So here is all of our trials lined up on the x-axis, and then the predicted most economic rate of nitrogen on the y. And I apologize, the green color is the square root plateau. It got cut off there. But this is just to show the distribution of our MERN predictions and how important it is to choose the right model. Because if you choose the wrong model, you could end up applying 40 kilograms less than you actually need, which could be really bad for trying to optimize your yield. And over all the sites, the quadratic plateau was consistently predicted the highest MERN compared to the other sites. Okay, this graph shows the distribution of the MERNs across the different models. So each different colored bar is a range in MERNs. And then the black bars represent the average MERN value across all of the trials. So again, the quadratic plateau had the highest average MERN compared to the other two. But it also had a much more normal distribution in MERN ranges, whereas the exponential and square root plateau had kind of jumped there in the different ranges. So that's something to keep in mind. This graph is set up the same exact way. So we have the number of sites that fall into specific ranges, except this is the yield at the MERN. And as you can see, there were no differences in yield at the MERN predictions across the different trials. They were fairly consistent. So here we go into our model comparison analysis. So this is our R squared. So as you can see, the quadratic plateau had the best fit based on our statistical criteria. Here we have the difference in yield between a high and a low price ratio. So we want lower values. We want higher stability. So the lower the difference, the better. And then the different colored bars show if you apply a little more or a little less than our MERN. And again, the quadratic plateau is the best choice here because it has the least amount of difference between price ratios. This is the same graph, except we're looking at apparent nitrogen recovery. So again, we want lower bars, lower values, because we want more stability, less differences between price ratios. And again, quadratic plateau is the most stable in predictions there. So the average loss, so this is an economic risk assessment. So we were looking at the average loss if you chose the incorrect model, where a different model was actually the right one. So on the y-axis, the first set of bars here. So if the quadratic plateau was in fact the best model and you chose another model, then you have the highest risk of loss associated with it. So we wouldn't want that risk to happen. So to avoid that risk, we would want to choose the quadratic plateau model. In summary, the yield responses of winter cereals fit nicely into four different groups. No response, no yield plateau, the yield plateau is way too low, or the yield plateau was within our range and we could determine a MERN. In terms of model comparison, the MERN predictions were different, but the yield at the MERN were similar. The quadratic had the highest MERN prediction across the models. And then the quadratic plateau, which was our choice model, had the best fit according to the R-squared criteria, had the smallest change in yield and ANR across price ratios, and it also had the greatest associated risk with it if a different model was chosen, but that one was actually the best one. So in conclusion, the quadratic plateau is ideal for determining the MERN based on statistical, economic, and environmental criteria. So what's next? As I said, we want to develop a nitrogen recommendation system, and we have a variety of field characteristics about each trial that we're using. And again, if you want to see the preliminary results, you can come see my poster. And I'd like to thank our acknowledgments and happy to take any questions you have.